He drives one high and deep into right center field towards the Red Sox bullpen. It is back and it is off the top of the wall, and it caroms into center field. This could be an inside the park homer. Abreu runs third. He gets the go-ahead. He comes home. Head first slide. Inside the park homer for Willier Abreu.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Will Fleming's call of Willier Abreu's big night, historic night. Not only did he have the inside the park home run, he had a grand slam later in the game. First person to do that since Roger Maris. You might have heard of him. Pretty big figure in the history of baseball. And isn't that pretty cool? Like that, you think about Willier Abreu. I don't know where his career goes. I don't know if he has a 10-year career and hits 300 home runs or anything. But in the record books, his name is next to Roger Maris. Now.
That's kind of the appeal of baseball.
Yeah, it really is.
That's
and
one example of what is the appeal of the game, I think.
And the other example coming out of that is I saw he was asked post-game, which felt better? Which is cooler? Which did you enjoy more? I forgot the way they phrased it. The inside the park home run or the regular home run, the grand slam? Wouldn't the answer always be the real one? I think that is such a cooler feeling. Like, inside the park home runs are kind of gimmicky. You had to hit it in the perfect part of the park. It had to have the perfect bounce or roll. And a fielder might have had to fall down, crumble to the turf or whatever. But when you hit a home run, to me that's like a dunk. Or that's like a big hit when you put a guy just flat on his back, a snot bubble type hit. If you hit a jack and just flip the bat, I think that's going to be a much better feeling.
Yeah, but how about that crowd? Like when you hear on the replay the surging crowd noise as like that wave builds, like, I think he can do it. I think this is going to happen. You don't see this that often in baseball.
Yeah.
Holy Schmidt, it's going to happen. He's going to hit it inside. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's so, because it is, it's borderline anomalous and doesn't happen that often, Hart.
Yeah, so that, but my, like, if I could Disney movie this and you just said, you know, plop me into one scene or one feeling in professional baseball, it would be the jack over the monster, the one that lands like, that one's on the pike, and you just do the slow trot around.
What's more common? I mean, the inside the park home run is not a very common, and so it's unique. And
yeah, plus, you got to run your ass off, too.
Right. The home run, you get to trot. Or, you know,
backwards, I could pick
you wouldn't
a fight.
You want to see Big Dumper out in Seattle hit a grand slam or hit an inside the park home run. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess now when you quirkify it and make it like that, like Rafi Devers, I'd pay to see him hit an inside the park.
I don't think it would happen. See him fall on his ass.
I think he would stop at second base and be like, no, I'm not running anymore. Nope, that's just a double. I'll wait for somebody else to hit me in. But the Red Sox have scored 31 runs, Ted Johnson, in the last three games. They scored 30 in the previous 11. So do we have a trend? Do we have, is the snowball rolling down the hill and is it picking up steam? We got Roman Anthony, had two hits yesterday. He's only batting .210, but that's up from like sub 100 where it was.
114.
Yeah.
So,
Chris Berman, is there something turning the corner here?
No, don't get too excited. Yeah, sorry.
What are you doing?
You know,
I was setting you up to be optimistic.
I'd love to be, but every time I was optimistic with this team, they'd go on losing streaks.
And you're burned and spurned.
If everybody knows what I covered the Astros, so I can tell you for a fact that if you know what pitch is coming, it's easier to hit the ball. yesterday,
that's the funniest thing you've said on this show.
The Red Sox are, I guess, supposedly picking up signals.
Yep.
And I was listening to the game. We were all texting, and I don't know if you guys were watching on TV, but I'm listening to it on my radio and in my headphones, and it's just like, and another hit, and another hit, and another hit, and another, and it was like, I think they picked up his signs. Dude, if you know what pitch is coming, so you're telling me you're going to read into yesterday's performance, especially in that first inning when they had all those hits in the first inning and seven runs, that's a trend? No, because they had the pitch. They knew what pitch was coming, so pitcher isn't going to tip their pitches to the Red Sox hitters. So, no, it's hard for me to get too worked up about it.
But this is twice that they've topped double digits, Fitzy, in the last three games, so that's a trend, right?
Yep, this is Ted. The operative phrase yesterday on the program, as I'm sure you heard, was proof of concept.
Yeah,
yes. So this we're hoping will ultimately a week, 10 days, 2 weeks into the All-Star break from now be the proof of concept that Roman Anthony coming around, a healthy Willier Abreu consistency from Marcelo Mayer, Trevor Story back in the good groove, that this will actually lead to an ignited Red Sox offense and that they'll finally unlock the potential that they've been teasing us with all the way back to JetBlue in spring training.
Okay, this is interesting. Remember a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this specifically. It felt like the Red Sox made a concerted effort to change their pitching style. Like they start throwing more fastballs, right?
Yep.
It looked like a shift in philosophy. Like, is there a shift in hitting philosophy now? Like, are they saying, you know what, let's, because they're obviously not, you know, worried about launch angle. They're just worried about getting balls in play. And when you look at the results of the last few games.
I want to say yes, because I want them to do that. But we were talking a little bit about this earlier because you know I've fixated on strikeouts because I think this team has to put the ball in play. They are not it's okay to swing for the fences and strike out because you'll get your home. But last night was indeed a game. They only had 5 strikeouts. That's one of their best games of the year. This is a team that rolls out of bed and gets like 9 or 10 strikeouts every time they take the field.
Huge to only strike out 5 times.
But they also did hit 4 home runs. So like it was almost the best case scenario. They kept the strikeouts low and still, even though one didn't leave the ballpark, they had 3 traditional home runs in the inside of the park. So that's where I'm not totally buying that, but I want to believe that. And it stems from my guy Will Middlebrooks when I was listening to him the other day. And he was talking about, I think it was on Nesson, so I think it was with Dave O'Brien. And Dave O'Brien's like, oh, they stole a base. This is what they were doing early in the year when they had some success. They're built for this. They're more aggressive. They take extra bases.
That's a good line. I know where you're going.
And Will Middlebrooks goes, yeah, unfortunately, you can't steal first base.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's the reality of this team is they need to get on base and put some pressure on the defense, but they haven't put the ball in play enough and then got on first base. But I would like to believe, and I do think, I know you poo-poo this a little bit, but Roman Anthony can be an impetus for that, as right now you're number 2 hitter, which tells you how good they – who did they trade? The $300 million man batted second, right?
Correct.
Rafi Devers?
Correct.
And now Roman Anthony's your 2 hitter, even though he wasn't hitting. Like, we've seen other guys pop up there, Campbell, pop up there, Meyer, but then when they don't hit, they get bumped back down. They have stuck with Roman Anthony. They believe in Roman Anthony, and he's your 2 hitter. If you get Jaron Duran – and Roman Anthony going, and then bring your guy Bregman back, those 3 guys right there, I do actually think could be the impetus for a better offensive output from this team. I absolutely do.
I feel like the Roman's got a feel now. Like, you know, to me that trend should continue. Look, Christian Campbell got 71 games to prove whether or not was worthy of being on the big league roster. So Roman Anthony, just because he started off, 4-34, he's going to get a long leash.
And he looked better than Christian Campbell ever did. I keep going back to that. When he's hitting rockets off the pitcher's thigh and it goes to the shortstop and you're out. Yes, I know. In Dan Ball's world, when you just look at the stat column, that says you're out. You didn't get a hit. My world,
got a hit in his first game, though, down in Texas.
What's that?
I believe Campbell got a hit in his first game.
Oh, no,
in Texas.
Campbell
he
was
good early too.
I didn't think he ever looked good.
He was rookie.
He put up
month
good numbers
for the first month. Of
I'm talking
the,
look. I'm least. Talking Sidney Sweeney eyes look. I didn't like the way he looked. Whereas Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer can get out and look like they're big leaguers.
The
swing.
How many errors does Roman Anthony have? Because he had that one bad era.
That's a Dan Ball stats and information
game. I hear that. That really bad error in game one, Ted. And also,
I don't think he's had many since, is my point, Fitz. Uh-uh. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to add the thing that Lou Maloney talked about when he joined us in studio at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio a while ago. Supreme patience at the plate. Cora even spoke about this in one of our Wednesday interviews, and looking forward to catching up with him tomorrow at 2:30, I believe. He talked about how everybody in spring training just wants to like grip it and rip it and just try to put on a show and hit it and impress the boss and the hitting coach and make the big leagues. And Roman just kept walking and walking and walking because he's so disciplined and has such a great eye. You add that to him now coming around to some of these second and third pitches that guys are throwing at him, boys. Yeah. He's going
to
be something.
In Roman Anthony, to answer the question, he only had that one really bad error.
Yeah.
No error since that.
No.
So that's a great sign. It's a Fitzy's,
not an error repeater.
He's not very good. and to prove Fitzy's point, I mean, you can tell when a young player isn't comfortable at the plate. Like, there's body language. There's like they look a little bit like a cat on a hot tin roof, kind of. You know, they're just like, Roman Anthony's, I don't sense any of that.
I'm not sure it's just young players. There's times this year where I thought Trevor Story didn't look comfortable at the plate. Right?
You're right.
And he's a 12-year MLB veteran.
You're right.
Whereas I think, and I said this, I keep using this term, the natural. Roman Anthony looks like the natural. Like, he just looks like, you know, God makes people for certain jobs.
Is his bat name Wonder Boy?
Yes, it should be.
It should be, yeah.
He was made.
He's got this voice special ready.
He was made to be in the left-handed batter's box in a major league stadium and hit the ball and swing. Like, almost, I don't want to go this far because this is unfair, but almost Griffey-esque or Will Clark-esque. Just that sweet lefty, you're like, that guy is an artist with a baseball bat in his hands. To me, that's what Roman Anthony is. So the offense is scoring runs. The flip side of that is the pitching staff, which strangely, somehow, quirky, baseball, whatever you want to call it, Garrett Crochet was not at his best. He was good enough to win for the first time at Fenway Park.
That's insane.
That kind of jumped out to me. He was 7-4 coming in, and you're like,
I agree.
I just didn't realize. I knew he hadn't gotten a lot of run support and sort of quirky nature of some of those things. But for the first time, a Fenway Park crowd went home with a ticket stub. Well, they don't have ticket stubs anymore, but a ticket stub from a victory for Garrett Crochet. And
they had Superman bobbleheads.
They did have Superman bobbleheads and those Superman jersey shirt things and that whole
jerseys,
thing.
Jerseys, we call them.
But Garrett Crochet, any concern? And Ted, I want to get your opinion on this because I defended Garrett Crochet. I thought it was really interesting. He gets a 7-run lead, and he's good the first three innings, really good. And then he's not as dominant as we expect him to always be. The game got to 7-4, I think, at one point with De La Cruz at the plate. Any concern there? Is that just human nature?
Human nature.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Okay.
Yeah, my guess is he probably just took his foot off the gas pedal, smidgey. When you have that kind of run support in the first inning, do I need to dig deep for this fastball? You know, and that probably was a little bit of what that was. And you know what? He's earned the right to do that, considering the season he's had and considering the lead that they had.
And even more so than just human nature at 7-0, he kept them. He was good in the second. He was good in the third. And then it's almost like, okay, I'm cruising now kind of thing. Like, maybe he even had the mental awareness to not have the fall off in the second. But then you kind of settle into where the game is going and you're up 7-0. We're heading into the fourth. And then he gave up some runs. I'm not worried.
Hey, the expression is they get paid too, man.
Yeah.
You know? So it's pros on it.
Maybe
other
he
side
was tipping too. Pitches too in the fourth inning.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Do you worry? Tito Francona had a comment post game.
Yeah.
That he said, you know, Cora's great at that. He's always been great at some of that stuff and sort of reading things.
Great at what?
Like
exactly.
Taking orders from Breslau.
Picking up tipped pitches
very
or things. Well, that's what do you think it was, or was he just being like, that's baseball. If you tip your pitches, a guy like that's gonna pick it up.
Probably the latter.
Yeah. I thought it was just a statement of fact.
Yeah.
We have a young pitcher who just got to the big leagues a week ago, and guess what? We're gonna have
stop
to sit down and he'll be fine.
I'm just amazed that it took how come the Reds coaching staff didn't like see the same thing and go out there and be like, hey bro, you're tipping your pitches. Stop doing that.
Aren't we led to believe these pitching coaches watch every freaking pitch in like five angles in computer animation and nobody noticed on that end that he's tipping pitches, but Alex Cora's like, hey, did you see that? Hey guys, you know what's coming? Jarren Duran, here, you make sure it's true, and then you tell everybody else. Like, I agree with you. That's something that if I'm mad and I'm Tito Francona, I'm looking down my bench, not across at the other bench. I'm pissed off at some of the coaches I have and computer analysts and whoever else that may be. Dan Ball, did you, you looked like you had a,
No, I think the credit goes to Duran. I know he shouted out Alex Cora on that, but Duran came back from his at-bat and spotted it. And I think it's also just a nod to what we laud Cora for and want more of, which is feel for the game, eye test. That's not a number a computer's not going to spit out. He's tipping his pitches. Alex Cora, watching the game, is going to find that out because he knows the game extremely well. We'll put the trash cans aside and just say that this time it was only eyes that showed the Red Sox what was going on.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought of that. Like, the Breslau bot wasn't, you know, sending anything down about the tipping of the pitch. That's
just good old-fashioned baseball.
Eyeballs, baseball, experience, knowing
what Alex
to
so
watch your mouth.
This is where we're going to get one time. Okay, Brez, settle down back there.
Brez Bott, Sebastian chiming in.
Do you think he'd answer that question with you guys tomorrow? What's the process of figuring out information like a guy's tipping his pitches?
Let's ask him.
On a general level, he will. He's not going to be like, you know.
He'll be like, oh, what are you guys talking about? There's no such thing going on Monday.
But when you do figure out what pitch is coming, how do you communicate that to the batter, Alex?
Well, we bang a trash can. No, I'm just kidding,
Alex.
I just
use my Apple Watch
and I lean it.
Tipping pitches.
No, we don't use the Apple Watch, but it's been around long before. You know, well, trash cans have always been around, but long before Apple Watches, what I do think it's interesting because there's all of these in baseball. I love these overly simple sometimes. Like I heard on the broadcast yesterday, they were talking about a throw over, and when the catcher wants it, generally most teams just put the catcher's mitt down. He just put, and it's like, wait, all teams use the same signal? Well, how come the guy on first base didn't see the catcher put his glove down if everybody uses the age-old symbol? So, no, I think we can ask him about tipping pitchers in general.
Would you look at the time? Got to go.
Bye, Brez. Have a good day.
You can watch film of the pitcher and see if he's tipping before you even play him.
Right.
I mean, that's why I'm thinking, did they discover something in that first inning, or did they already know going into the game and they saw it right away and then started exploiting it?
My guess
it?
Would be the old Reagan trust but verify. Like, they knew going in, and then you verify it in the first inning, and then, like, once you do, now you're like a lion, just latch on.
When you watch film and it's football players, all you're doing, you're looking at, like, the guard. Is he set back on his hands? Does he lean a little bit?
Yep.
Is his back foot a little bit when he pulls?
And that's not illegal.
That's why you watch all that damn film.
But I feel like because you even joked about it.
I think baseball does the same thing is what I'm trying to say.
It's like somewhere we lost the line of like what is cheating and what is traditional. I don't even know what you call it. Just
nobody would call that
knowledge.
Gamesmanship.
Right. Like for the Patriots, if I look across the field and I see when the guy goes like this, it's some sort of lightning blitz when some guy does something, it's okay if I tell my guys that. Now, if I have a cameraman who's running it through an AI model and bot and algorithm, okay, we crossed a line where we're doing something we're not allowed to now.
Can I give you a really good example of this that happened? The Todd Collins game, the Swamp Chicken, when he in the pick six against Dan Marino.
Yes.
1997. We played the Miami Dolphins back-to-back. We played in Miami, lost to them, and then they had to come up and play us in the first round of the wild card.
Yep.
Dan Marino didn't change his audible, his signal for a slant route from the week before. Todd Collins sees Marino basically give the hang loose sign, looks over at me, goes, it's going to be a slant. And it was. Todd intercepts it, runs it back for a touchdown.
Wow.
Is that cheating or is that just...
That's just laziness on the Dolphins part and Dan
and
Marino.
Intelligence on the part of your line. Yeah, the linebacker.
Also, that's a little bit of a lack of respect for you guys.
Good.
That's like Joe Mazzulla. Run it again. Run it again. They'll never know.
That's a fair point. Huh?
But, I love that stuff. I love when you hear about guys like you or coordinator like, did you see where his left foot is? You know what that means, don't you? And I'm like, I'm not sure I know what it means. Why don't you tell me what it means? But that's preparation. That's being ready to battle, and the Red Sox were ready to battle last night. They get a win, and now Ted Johnson tells me, don't get ahead of myself. It's only one win.
Come on.
I'm getting excited. I'm buying in again. You know me. I'm just overly optimistic and positive and naive.
It's good to see, you know, Trevor Story hitting a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, Roman obviously hitting a little bit better.
Your boy Bregman is coming back. He said he's ahead of schedule, and he's feeling better.
I'm a little bit tired of the Bregman. I wish they didn't. Like, weren't so optimistic a few weeks ago. I think the Red Sox are just looking to get any positive news out there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know what? Don't tell us Bregman's coming before the All-Star break, and then he doesn't. It's like they're just stringing us along a little bit because I think they need positive stories out there.
Okay. Well, I'm buying
into it. Frustrated by that.
I'm buying into the positive stories. Okay. They're scoring runs. They're pitching. Bregman's back. All is good in Red Sox Nation. All's good here on WEEI Afternoons because it's a Tuesday. But pretend it's a Thursday at 5:30 because Quiz with Stiz is up next. And the linebacker, Ted Johnson, undefeated champion, takes on Nick Fitzy Stevens trying to knock him off his throne. That's up next. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?